Hi, everybody, and welcome back to So What Happens Next. As always, my name is Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And this week, we're coming back fast and hard. It's Charlize Theron in the Netflix original movie, The Old Guard. So, sorry for the prolonged delay, everybody, listeners at home, or wherever you may be. We had to take a break. You know, I'll be straight with you, burnout is pretty real, and we were grinding really hard on getting these episodes out when we could. And, you know, it was as best we could do, and then with everything going on in the world today, it really piled on. We had to take a break and kind of reassess sort of how we wanted to do everything. So, you know, going forward, our plans kind of like, we're still going to be doing episodes, we're also still going to be doing small screens, but we're going to be kind of like alternating between the two, because we've realized that it was a lot to be doing like full-length episode and then a small screen segment each week. And, you know, as much as we'd love to give more content, we also work. I mean, it'd be cool to do this full-time, but, you know, we're not, so it's kind of what it is. But we really like doing small screens because it lets us get to talk about stuff that we don't normally get to talk about because we've already seen it. So we'll be alternating. So like this week, obviously, you're getting a full-length episode. Next week, we're going to do, small screens, which we'll, you know, let you know at the end of the show what that's going to be. And, you know, we're just going to kind of alternate from there, you know, as we go. And yeah. We hope you guys still enjoy. We hope you guys are still listening. Again, sorry for the delay. Definitely wasn't a week. And we also know that this isn't a Five Bloods. That one kind of fell off. We tried watching it. We weren't really into it. And it just kind of like, you know, fell away from us. And we realized like the whole point of this was to do movies that we could have like real solid opinions on that we liked watching. Or at least if we didn't like watching it, like we could talk about how much we didn't like watching it.
Yeah.
And that one was just like, at the time, it just hit the wrong time for us. And we just kind of were burnt out and just couldn't get through it. So we decided, clean slate, let's just hit the ground running. And this movie happened to come out pretty recently. So why not? You know, we definitely haven't seen it and we've been hearing some pretty good things. So, yeah. You know, figured why not? Let's dive in. So The Old Guard. As always, I have five things up on the board for The Old Guard. They are that the movie stars Charlize Theron, that it has to do with secret mercenaries, revolves around a new guy joining the secret mercenaries, I guess, cover gets blown, and it's a Netflix original movie. So that last one is kind of like when I give the dates of like, oh, this movie's from 1985. It's sort of like a, here's your tone. Like, based on other Netflix originals, you know, old and new, this is what you're going, like, this is kind of how it's going to feel.
Yeah.
So, Amber, neither of us have seen this movie, right? You've not seen it. I don't even think I've seen the trailer. I know very little about this movie.
All I've heard is its name.
Yeah, and I was kind of confused because I thought it was, I always heard it advertised like, it's like John Wick, but with a lady. And I was like, wasn't that the other Charlize Theron movie? Atomic Blonde? Like, wasn't that? Like,
they're trying to do a crossover with that or something like that.
I mean,
so, yeah.
I haven't seen Atomic Blonde, but I mean, when I heard this, I was kind of like, wait, you already did this with the same
movie. Yeah, exactly. Like, she is the female John Wick in that movie.
Right. And then that's how I heard this
and
was.
If they're going to be doing a crossover, it's kind of like, okay, this does not fit that, but.
Right. But
nice try.
I guess as I was doing the like cursory research to get the five things, mm-hmm. this definitely sounds different. But what do you think, based on these five things, what do you think this movie is about?
I think this movie is like your typical A-team, honestly. Like, if you have a band of, like, secret mercenaries and then their cover gets blown, which I don't really know what that means, but, like, with this new guy, I guess he somehow fucks up.
Yeah.
And it just blows their cover to where they become a target from someone, like an organization or maybe just one person. And so I think that they have to band together and basically take down whoever's at the top.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, Charlize is the main character, I'm assuming, of this.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, she's top
band of mercenaries. Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah. I assume.
Yeah. I guess, like, I'll tell everybody, like, what my thoughts of this was before I started doing the cursory research on it.
Because, but I thought, like, these, like, mercenaries, they had, like, ancient powers or something like that.
See, and that's why I wanted to give the preface, because I didn't know that. So this is what I originally thought the movie was about, was I thought it was, like, for anyone who's seen The Italian Job, I thought it was that, but with mercenaries instead of a heist. So, like, the new guy is Edward Norton's character in The Italian Job, for those of you who've seen it, betrays him, fucks him all over. But in this case, it gets the added twist of, like, a spy James Bondian thing where they all their covers blown and they have to, like, survive everyone who's coming for him. And then I thought it was going to have a lot of, you know, really flashy effects and stuff, because it's Netflix and they throw money at things, like, you know, it's water. And it was all going to star Charlize Theron. Apparently, like, you're right. I didn't know they had some kind of, like, weird powers, and it was unavoidable when I was trying to just find five things about this movie to put. And it was just like, oh, they're all, you know, like, spoilers for this, they're all, like, immortal. And so I'm kind of curious, like, where this is going to go, because it sounds a lot like Highlander to me. And it's it just seems like Highlander, except they all kill people. Yeah. So I'm kind of curious, like, what even the trailer for this movie looks like, because I've never seen, shockingly, I've never seen the trailer, even though Netflix is constantly like, watch the motherfucking Old Guard, man. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm not doing that right now. So yeah, I'm kind of curious how that's going to go. I mean, I like Charlize Theron in stuff. Like, I haven't seen anything. I don't think I've seen anything that she's been in that I didn't like, except maybe, like, Hancock. But even then, she wasn't exactly the worst in it. So it's like, but yeah, if you give us a minute, we're going to go ahead and watch the trailer real quick, and we'll get back to you with our final thoughts of how this movie's going to go down. All right. So, this movie was definitely called Army of Five at some point, without a fucking doubt. The way so the trailer basically shows, like, this new, they meet this new girl. I guess I shouldn't say new guy. That was assumptive of me. But there's, like, a Charlize Theron leads a group of immortal mercenaries who, it's kind of, this movie doesn't seem like it quite knows if it wants to be the mystical, like, mercenary group that directs humanity towards better things, or, and, like, works in the shadows to do it, or if they're just, like, a ragtag group of immortals who do shit for hire. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of both ways, and I don't feel like you get to be both. Like, you kind of one or the other here, guys.
Yeah,
sorry. That being said, like, the whole Army of Five thing is because there is a, like, beat dropped when she's like, whoa, we're like an army of five or something like that, and there's, like, a hard beat where it's almost like everyone's looking at the camera, like, we said the title, and it's like, you didn't say the title, the title's not that anymore, it's the Old Guard, I'm sorry. But Amber, what do you think of this after seeing that trailer?
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of it, because, like, everything I said, it seems to fit, besides the fact that, yeah, like you said, I just don't understand, like, who, if they are immortal and they've lived throughout the ages of, like, humanity, like, who were they then? Like, where did they originate? And maybe they'll go over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, like, I guess having this new person come on who also has the same power as they do.
Yeah, they really gloss over that. Yeah,
they
do
gloss over that. And I'm just like, how did they figure that out, though? Well, which I'm sure they're going to go over.
I hope so, because it's like, oh, we got another one. We got another immortal over here, everybody. Hey, they got to join us, right? Okay, cool. Well, okay, cool. Like, what are you... What... Is that to imply there's other random immortals just kind of hanging out?
Yeah, like, is this like X-Men?
Yeah, like, that's a great point. It's like, is this like X-Men where there's a lot of people with superpowers and you gotta hope you find them all, but you might not? Like,
also, what happens if you decapitate someone?
Totally, always a valid question when immortality is thrown around. Like, so to clarify, it looks like their immortality based on the trailer is that kind where, like, you get shot and you, like, Wolverine heal, which, like, cool, that's always fun. But what happens if you, like, lop Wolverine's head off? Is he gonna stay dead? Like,
yeah.
If Wolverine Origins is to be believed, no, he'll come back to life. But they are like, in all the years of living, you're telling me they were never once beheaded?
Yeah, like we literally just saw them being hung and then put in an Iron Maiden. So
yeah, at some point you gotta hit. You either will survive the beheading or like that. And then what happens like to your severed head?
Exactly. Because they could, so many questions. You know, just cut you into different pieces, scatter them all over, and you technically would not be able to. You'd be alive, but like.
In that case, what part of you regrows? Because clearly, if you get your head cut, and you know, this movie, at this point, everybody, this movie's clearly not going to fucking, like, answer these questions. But if you're immortal and your head gets chopped off, does a new body grow from your head, or does a new head grow from your body? And then, in that case, if you chop somebody up in a bunch of little pieces, which one of those pieces gets to be the new person? Because something's got to happen here. Or is this a situation where I got to put my head back on, both my body parts are working? Like, what's up with this? It looks pretty action-packed. I'll give it that. Like, it looks like it's going to be kind of interesting. But if this movie really drops the ball on, like, where, you know, they got these powers from, or where what the fuck their story is, because it's clearly, like, there's four of them, I guess, that have been immortal for a while, and then you just have, like, this new girl who's also happens to be immortal.
Yeah.
Give me some rules, movie. Why are these five here? Like, or better yet, is this going to be one of those like first vampire, second vampire situation where like Charlize Theron is the one who's been alive the longest and she's just kind of cultivated this group over time?
Yeah,
that would make more sense. I'm like, yeah, we've been alive since like Rome. Oh, you're new in 2020. Great. It's, you know, taken 2020 years for us to find somebody new and that kind of stuff. How are you feeling about this movie, though, in the sense of, like, excited, kind of blah, oh, you know, now that I've watched a trailer, I'm not really sure if I want to watch it.
Like, yeah, what are you feeling? That's how I feel. Like, I'm kind of just like, I guess we'll see how it is. You know, I've gotten some feedback from other people that have watched it, and they said it's good, but again, that's pretty subjective, so
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
Well, that's kind of what this whole show is based on, is subjectivity. But yeah. As
we clearly have seen.
Yeah, no, so the back of the DVD box, I guess if you, you know, for all you younguns out there, a DVD box is something that a disc comes in, that you plug the disc into a machine that plays on the TV. I feel like I have to preface this, because I don't know when the last time I bought a DVD was, and not digital copies of things. But the quick summary from IMDb is, a covert team of immortal mercenaries are suddenly exposed and must now fight to keep their identity a secret, just as an unexpected new member is discovered. I also can't tell who's good and bad in this movie. This movie is also based on a graphic novel, which might be kind of interesting. I don't know what's, you know, what to really think of this one. Personally, I gotta say the trailer did kind of like take my excitement and dial it a little down, unfortunately. Not that it was a bad trailer, but it was really like had some cheese to it. You know, like we're kind of doing the cheesy, plucky new kid, like Men in Black, kind of. Like you got the new person who's shaking things up, but they also got to learn.
Yeah.
It kind of had that feel, and I'm like, yeah, we already did this. It was called Men in Black. It came out in the 90s. It's a pretty good movie. Why are we doing it again? But, yeah, so if you guys will give us just a few seconds of your time while we go spend 2 hours and 5 minutes of our time, which might make me go into this movie a little bit more angry than I should be, because why is this movie 2 hours and 5 minutes for a action shoot-em-up fest? They better explain some rules of immortality if I have anything to say about it. God damn. So, sorry if we're really angry in a few seconds about this movie, but if you just give us a little bit of time, we are going to go ahead and go dive right into The Old Guard. So we're back. Amber, what are your Go ahead.
We regret to inform you that it was a complete waste of time.
Wow, was it ever? So that answers that. What was your opinion? We can dive into it, but overall, like, straight up first impression out the gate of this movie is, like, it is really great action sequences, I think. Like, it had some really cool action. Like,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, it was kind of like a video game, and it really lacked a plot.
Yeah, it lacked a plot, and then you didn't really get to know a whole lot about the characters.
Yeah.
Especially with Charlize Theron's character.
Who did, I have to say, like, the actors in this movie, they all did a pretty stellar job. Like, even, well, you know what? Let's just start at the top.
Okay.
We'll get into each one. So first off, the first note I have is that this was based on a book.
Oh,
which
okay.
I haven't looked into the book. I haven't, like, gone diving around for it or anything like that. But what the hell? Like, this is a book? I can't imagine this being a book that does nothing more than describes action sequences.
Yeah.
But okay. We have, I would call just a sin in fucking, he's putting the sin in cinema here, is it's like, we start at one point in time, and then we back up, and then set up the cold open that you already saw.
Which, it was really short, to
yeah.
be honest. It was too short to be, like, cold open.
Yeah, the cold open of this movie is everyone's dead on the floor, yeah. and Charlize Theron is kind of just apathetically, yeah, like,
yeah.
oh, I'm so tired of this. And
yeah.
then it's just, like, back of 72 hours or something like that. And they're getting, they meet Chiwetel Ejiofor, and he's like, there's these people kidnapping kids or some shit. He's like ex-CIA or something, and Charlize Theron's like, we don't do fucking repeat jobs, but they do anyway because of the kids. And so they go in to save these kids. It's like this mercenary group, and I know that this is very like, wait a minute, Thomas, Amber, why are you, who are these people? What do they do? What's their shtick? Yeah, I don't know. At this point in the movie, you don't know.
Yeah.
We watched the whole thing, and I'm still not 100% sure.
Yeah. Like, I feel like they missed a lot of things that might have been covered in the book.
Yeah.
I think the only, like, really backstory we get, again, is on Charlize Theron's character.
And even then, it's more the people she interacted with over the course of her life.
Yeah, which I'm assuming she's, like, 1,000 years old or something like that from
if not
how
more?
They've traced her throughout history. And I'm just kind of like, okay, but what about everybody else? Like, where did they come from? I was hoping there'd be, like, a little snippet of, like, how they came to be or whatever, and possibly how they gained immortality, but you don't get that.
Yeah, it just, it doesn't really make any sense, because it's, they kind of introduce, like, you know, based on the trailer and everything, like, they're immortal. And, like, my first gripe, really, with this whole thing, isn't that you have this, like, wicked short cold open, and then we go back, and then set the cold open up, and then do it again, and then get into the movie? Because this movie's, like, 2 hours long, and you could have easily just shaved all that off by not doing this crap. But it's the fact that, like, one of the immortal guys is on a moped, and it's going back and forth between him driving this moped in Morocco, and Charlize Theron walking down a street. And it's, like, trying to give the impression that he's chasing her, maybe? But the problem that I have is, it's, like, he's barely going faster than the people walking next to him. I'm, like, can't we do, like, an intense, like, he's moving faster and he's behind her or something? Instead, he's, like, zipping around on this little moped at, like, 5 miles an hour. Barely able to keep balance because he's going so damn slow. But, yeah, so they're just, like, dealing with the CIA guy. They go out to their thing. And it's, like, clearly, like, they're immortal and shit. And they have this problem and whatever. I would bet that she's a little bit more than 1,000 years old, though, because they, and this bothered me a lot. Like, historically speaking, it was stupid, because they're like, how, when you meet our kind of audience character, Niall, it's like, how old are you? And Charlize Theron's like, I don't remember. And I'm just like, what? And they keep calling her, like, Andromeda.
That was, like,
or
the
something.
First thing, yeah.
They're like, Andromeda the Scythian. So,
yeah.
I looked up the Kingdom of Scythia because I'm like, well, you just said a civilization
yeah. mm-hmm.
that we know exists. Like, as far as, you know, Wikipedia is concerned, the first Scythian kingdom that was, like, known, looks like it was between the in the 7th or 6th century BC. So that would be like 2,500 to 2,600 years ago or something like that. She's got to be in the range of that. Like, no greater than 2,600 years ago is how old she is. And that would be like dead on with the first, like, Scythian kingdom. It's not that hard to do Google search. I mean, they got phones and shit. Like, it just, if she was like Atlantean.
She doesn't know her age. I'm like, it's very simple. Like, even if you don't know the exact date you were born, you can, again, just do like an estimate.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is you are no greater than 2,600 years old. Yeah.
A better understanding of like why, like, you know, when you become immortal and then like what happens when you're no longer immortal.
Which is, so if those of you are listening, who are like, why are they spending so much time on Charlize Theron's character's age? Why aren't they telling me why they're immortal? These are thoughts that you will have watching the entire movie, and they will never be answered.
Yeah.
And they spend about just as much time as we are right now, proportionally speaking, on these fucking questions. Like, I think Niall asks how old Charlize Theron is at least 4 to 5 times in this movie. And no one has an answer. Even herself. And it's just like, this was maybe fine twice. Ask her, then ask one of her friends, and no one knows. Okay, whatever. But we are continually asking this question. Never get an answer. No one besides Niall in the very beginning is even asking why they're immortal in the first place. They're just like, just is. And because you're mortal, you gotta kill people. Like, that's just how it fucking works. And I'm like, wait a minute, what the hell? So basically, the overall view of this movie is that you have a group of immortals who get screwed over by Chiwetel of Ejiofor, and whose character I don't remember. I just know his name in the movie starts with a C. They also carry around these funky, like, medieval weapons, because why not?
Mm-hmm. No explanation.
No explanations like, oh, I used axes, or my deal was broadswords, whatever. And they're all, like, pretty contemporaneous weapons, too. Like, it's not like, oh, Charlize Theron is older, so she uses, like, an older style weapon. It's just like, oh, she uses, like, a battle axe. Oh, he uses a broadsword. Like, no one's using, like, a rapier or something or whatever. Even though they do go in depth about, like, when these people became immortal, except for her.
Yeah.
But he screws them over because he's working for none other than fucking Dudley Dursley. Holy shit. This is the biggest mind blower of the fucking movie. And you can take that to mean whatever you want. But when Harry fucking Melling comes on screen, I think I might have paused the movie and went, is that fucking Dudley? And I mean, don't get me wrong, he's looking good. The guy's lost a lot of weight. And he plays... I feel like he could be a great, like, manic, like, he could be a great, like, Riddler in Batman. Yeah. I feel like it would make so much sense.
Yeah, he definitely plays the asshole really good.
He plays, like, this asshole from
Harry Potter to
he plays an asshole, like, pharmaceutical guy.
Yeah.
Who, I guess, convinced Chiwetel Ejiofor that he can take the old guard crew's immortality so that people like Ejiofor's wife don't have to die of cancer.
Yeah, it's to revolutionize like cancer treatment, basically.
But
so that people don't have to go through. Yeah.
But it's not. Chemo. It's all about the money. And I'm like, how did you not get that? That was a factor. Like, it's dude, like, you what the fuck?
Big pharma.
He's also like, this is the problem. Is it's not like, like, I'll argue that, like, Venom does it a little bit better, right? Like,
yeah.
Which is, I can't believe I'm saying
but
that.
But the thing that surprised me the most was how ruthless, like, the scientist was, too. Because, like, in Venom, like, the scientists were just kind of like,
Venom,
this violates ethics.
I can't believe that we're having this conversation.
And she's just like, yep, we're just gonna, like.
I can't believe that this is our conversation right now. It's like, Venom, of all movies, Venom did what the old guard was doing better. Like, the asshole Elon Musk archetype dude from Venom kind of starts out all altruistic, but he's still a businessman.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, Jenny Slate's character, who's kind of like that head scientist who's helping him figure... Spoilers for Venom, by the way, if you didn't see it, it's, you know, whatever. It's not terrible. Like, it could be a worse movie. But Yeah, they're like, oh, we got to use these symbiotes. And it's just like, you just swap out symbiotes with immortals and you have this movie and dial everybody up. Because, like, the woman in this movie, who's the Jenny Slate of Venom, is just this ruthless German question mark woman who's like, I just believe that we should, like, make people live forever because what's the morals don't exist or something like that.
Yeah, but she also wants, like, a Pulitzer Prize for it.
Yeah, she wants the fame, and then Dudley just wants the money. But the problem I have is it's not like in Venom where the bad guy is, like, at least starts kind of nice. Like, he's nice to the girl, he's very inspirational, he has his drive, and then quickly turns to be kind of like, I'm all about this profit or the fame or whatever. Yeah. Dudley is a piece of shit from the start of this movie.
He, like, does not care.
And it just baffles me, why the fuck does Chiwetel Ejiofor, an ex-CIA agent, not pick up that maybe this dude is not as altruistic?
Surprise, like, Pikachu surprise.
Yeah, he's just like, what? You're only in this for the money? And I'm just like, what? Wait a minute. What? Like, at the very least, you had to have calculated, you know, there's going to be profit in this. Yeah. Someone's going to be about that profit.
Yeah, and not only that, but people are going to get hurt.
Which, again, he's like, you said you don't need them. You just need to take, like, a little sample. He's like, nope. And for some reason, Dudley's like, nope, give me all the immortal guys. Like, just give me them all. I don't want other people to get them and so, I don't know, business.
Yeah, because then we'll get, you know,
of competition.
Competition.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this movie? And it's just like, this movie is just so, it takes a long time to get going with whatever the fuck they intend to get going with. But at the same time, it giddies the fuck up really fast. Because the minute they're like, Ejiofor fucking betrayed us, we have to get away. We have to find him and kill him because he's a loose end. And I'm like, oh, that's the movie. But then you meet Niall, who I think this is probably the best move. We cut to Niall, which I really think should have been the beginning of this movie. If not the whole Morocco sequence, that should have been the beginning of this movie. But now we're jumping all over the world in this movie, and we go to Afghanistan, where you meet Niall, who is a, like, Marine in the American military. And they're hunting, I guess, a terrorist.
Yeah.
To go into what they're doing is, like, there's these terrorists, and they're basically using the women and daughters as shields. And hiding. And it's, like, only women in this village. So Niall and her team find the guys. Niall shoots one, and then as he's dying, they don't want him dead. They want him captured alive.
Yeah.
And he slashes her throat. And it's like, kill shot. She's dead. Yeah. Like, she's not coming back. Yeah. But she lives.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa. And that's where my next problem with this fucking movie comes from. Because it's like, these, her Marine buddies are all like, what's wrong with you? Like, you're a fucking freak.
I know.
And I'm like, yo, you have, like,
reaction would have been different. I would just be like, a super soldier, finally.
Even then, I would just be like, I don't even know if it would be that. In my mind, at best, I'd probably just be like, you know what? My friend's alive. I'm not going to question why until this becomes a problem. But I'm going to keep my eye on her, but I'm not going to be a dick about this because, you know, as far as the military is concerned, this is kind of useful. You have basically like Wolverine without the claws who can do whatever they want. But Niall freaks out and she gets kind of excluded from the group. And at this point, Charlize Theron in the gang, like, all... Have you watched Sense8? You remember the television series Sense8?
I've heard of it.
For those of you listening who've watched Sense8, personally, I think it's a pretty good show. Like, it was very emotional and it had a lot going for it. It also did this thing better. Was they basically sensate each other of when a new immortal appears, which they never explain why this occurs. They never explain why they're all linked and why the fuck immortals happen in the first place. But they're like, oh, there's a girl. There's another one. Like, no, it's been 200 years. It can't happen again. No, we got to go find her. And they're like, okay, you guys go find Chiwetel Ejiofor. I'll meet you in France. I'm going to go to Afghanistan and get this girl, says Charlize Theron. And they're like, okay, fine, boss. And they leave to go to France. And then she goes to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. To where she just waltzes onto this military base.
Yeah, which I was kind of just like, how?
How the fuck? Like, we don't see her fight anybody or sneak past anyone.
She
but
just,
we get,
like, waltz in.
We get an aerial shot of the camp, the base, whatever you want to call it. It's clearly, like, fenced. You're not just walking in. And it's guarded. And she just, like, walks in and then, like, beats up two guards and takes down Niall. And then takes Niall to, like, a drug runner plane or some shit. And the whole, like, she shoot it. This is where I was, like, really hoping the movie would pick up for me. Because Niall, like, is in the trunk. First of all, she steals a fucking, like, Humvee.
Yeah.
Which, again, I'm like, these things gotta be tracked or something. Like, they know where it is. She's driving down and, like, Niall, like, throws herself out the trunk of the car. And she's, like, rolling around the road. And, like, Charlize Theron's like, huh. And I'm like, classic immortal shtick. Like, everybody can't die here. So we're just kind of sighing, we're apathetic about this. Okay, like, maybe this movie can come back for me. She gets out of the car. And Niall's like, you know, fuck you. Starts running away. And Charlize Theron just sighs and, like, shoots her in the head. And I'm like, and I said audibly right before she did, I'm like, man, you're immortal. If she doesn't just shoot her, then, like, this is really dumb. And she just, like, pops her in the head. Niall goes down. And, of course, heals. And then gets back up. She's like, you shot me. And she's like, yeah. You know, see how that worked out, like, fucking A. She stabs Charlize Theron or something, and she's like, god, son of a bitch, that hurt. And I'm just like, this is what I want in my immortal movie. I want a clear, like, we're doing this stupid, like, I can stop you because I can basically just kill you and you'll come back. It's kind of like Deadpool, but not as, like, jokey.
Yeah.
And then it just stops being, it's like, Niall can't comprehend that they're immortal and we're on this plane.
You know what would be really cool? What they should have done or what they could have done. So, I don't know if any of you have seen Happy Death Day.
I haven't.
But it's basically like this girl going through the same day. It's Groundhog's Day, basically, but it's a horror movie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and so the killer keeps killing her, like, every day, and she has to figure out who the killer is. But, like, her body, of course, is sustaining all of those injuries, and she goes to the doctor on one of those days, and he's just like, you've been stabbed. There's, like, gunshot wounds. Like, what the
hell? Oh, whoa, so she still has the wounds.
Yeah, and I was just like, that would have been cool if they kind of did that to her as... Charlize Theron, it as she's, like, you know, losing her immortality.
Yeah, like, so like, that's what happens next, by the way, is you find out that the immortals aren't really immortal.
That's why, like, oh, they lose their immortality. I don't really know. But well, it would have been a cool, like, yeah, idea.
It would have been something, but it's like, basically, after I'm just going to keep fucking moving, we're just going to plow through this movie because, like, we spend so much time fighting each other and dicking around until we kind of get some exposition on, like, who everybody is. We learn that, like, there's these two guys who are a couple who are part of the team, and they were both on the opposite sides during the Crusades, and they, like, have been together since the Crusades, which is when they became immortal. And then you learn about this other guy who's, like, fought with Napoleon, and he was, like, the most recent one. Then you learn Charlize Theron just, like, was the one that found them all. She's indescribably old, but she's met all these other immortals. Like, she had a best friend. Like, it doesn't make any sense because she's like, oh, I had this, like, you know, friend. We were the only two immortals for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
We were a team. And at some point during the witch trials of it, like, you know, 16th, 17th century, they catch him and then they split him up and they drown the woman, her friend, not Charlize Theron. Like, they put her in an iron coffin and chuck her off a boat. And Niall has this expositional dream that, like, she sees it and they talk about it. And it really made Charlize Theron upset. But then at the same time, you learn about another immortal that was around before this. But when Charlize Theron and this other woman were together, supposedly alone, and he's like an immortal who died.
Yeah.
And that's how they bring in this, like, clearly we wrote ourselves into a corner with the immortality shtick. So we gotta find a way to kill him. And instead of it being like a way where Dudley can catch him or do something to them, they go, you just die. Eventually, getting shot, it actually just kills you.
You basically just stop.
And it's like, you don't know until the next time you get killed. Yeah. And it's like, they're like, yeah, it's just the way it is. And I'm sitting, and she's like, well, how, and Niall's like, how do you know? You shot me in the head. How do you know that wouldn't kill me? And she's like, you're too new. And I'm like, I don't know. You guys seem to have, like, a... indescribably, like, long or short amount of time that this immortality lasts. This is terrifying. Like, this is the worst version of immortality I could possibly think of.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like with elves in Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, where you just live forever until you get killed and then you're dead. And it's not like Wolverine, where eventually it slows down and you're like, oh, yeah, it's coming, age, right? Yeah. This is just like, bang, bang. Oh, shit. He didn't get up. Well, I thought we were all walking out of here. Goddamn.
Or like with her. So they end up...
She gets stabbed in the shoulder during this like hardcore... If you've seen The Kingsmen, the first one, the scene, the really awesome scene in the church when... Colin Firth kills all those dudes.
Yeah.
It's like that, but at night with Black Ops agents and Charlize Theron is Colin Firth's character. And it's hardcore, but like she gets stabbed in the shoulder and finds she's not healing.
Yeah. And so she has to basically goes to this local convenience store she, you know, has this like moment with a mortal woman.
Oh, man.
And, you know, they're being really nice to each other and stuff. And I thought this was going to develop into something more, like a relationship or whatever. But she just kind of, like, leaves after that and then continues on her way. And I'm like,
oh, there's no questions about this, too. Like, the French convenience store girl, who's, like, this very obtusely goth girl for some reason. I don't know. She just is.
Yeah.
Is, like, do you need help bandaging yourself up, because you clearly can't figure out how to do this. And I'm like, you haven't bandaged people before? You've been alive for like thousands of years. You never bandaged someone else? Like, come on. And so she like helps her bandage and she's like, how come you're not asking me questions? And she's like, you needed help. Like, I'm not gonna do whatever. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'd ask where this stab wound came from. Like, if for anything, just to make sure that like if someone's chasing her, one, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And two, like if there's a higher level of authority that needs to be brought in here, like they are, you know, like this is just like, it's not like, I cut my leg. It's like, I was stabbed in the shoulder and it's very clear it was, which, you know, she kind of just walks off. Like the pain tolerance of these people seems to be immense, but the actual damage that they suffer doesn't seem to affect them at all. And it should, because that's not how it works. Like, I feel like eventually, like if you got your arm dangling off you, you can be like, I'm strong enough to not feel this. Like, that's cool, but you're still not using that arm.
Yeah.
Like, and Charlize Theron's wearing backpacks and swinging axes. I'm like, you're still stabbed in the shoulder. This movie's only like 36 hours of time. But yeah, so they, what do? They wind up in England or some shit after they get caught in France. I mean, they just, you have a, like, they're all going to go kill Dudley or whatever. Or Dudley kidnaps the couple.
Yes, the gay couple.
Which, we have a scene that, like, really, so for me, personally, I think we need to normalize having, you know, gay people, trans people. This did that until this one scene where they're like, at least to me, where they're in the car with these, like, security forces or something. And the dude, the security force guy is, like, trying to make a gay joke, I guess. I didn't really tell. Like, it's, like, implied gay joke. He's like, what is that, your boyfriend or something like that? And then one of the characters goes on an exceptionally long tirade about how this guy is, like, the love of his immortal life. And it goes on. It's not just, like, you wouldn't understand the, like, bond we have because we're immortal and we love each other. It is, like, a five-minute run of this. And I'm like, it was completely a normalized relationship. And it was funny. Like, they had such... they have such good chemistry as a couple in this movie. And then they just start smacking you over the head, like, if you didn't realize they were gay yet. And I'm like... guys, come on. Like, it was fine. There was it. You should have something there where he's basically like, fuck you, you would never understand this. But like, it just really got to the point where I was like, okay, this is absurd. Like, this is, it can be anybody saying this, this is a little absurd. And then it's just over. Like, that's all we spend there. And then afterwards, I think they beat the shit out of the two immortals, beat the shit out of all the cops.
They kill them.
Or something.
Yeah.
And they open the doors and they're just sitting there handcuffed. And I'm like, that would have been great.
Yeah.
If, like, you know, he said something like, you would never understand. Like, we're immortal and I'll love him till the end of time. And then the dude just is like, all right. And then, you know, like, the F word here. And then it just, like, he just, like, shakes his head and smiles. And then the next scene, you open the doors and they're all fucking dead. That would have been great. Like, that would have been a great beat because you emphasize the fact that they love each other and that it's real and it's not just some bullshit. You emphasize the fact that this guy's a piece of shit for calling him out, trying to call him out on it. And then you also get the fact that they killed all of them with their hands tied behind their back. Like, all in all, I feel like that would be like a cool bit. But instead, it's just, let me yell for a minute, and then, no, look, they're dead. Like, I don't even think we get a scene that, like, fades into them actually fighting. It's just like, so fuck you. And then it's just, okay. And then they're dead. And I'm like, well, all right, what the fuck? But yeah, so they have to go save them in England, I guess, because this movie had to go, like, 8 different places before we get to fucking England. Niall doesn't want to be an assassin, and...
Yeah, attempts to... Well, she wants to be with her family, and Charlize Theron is like, you can't really do that if you're immortal, because someday they're gonna notice, like, you're not aging, which is a problem.
Well, she's... And then, like, Niall's logic was that, well, it won't be immediately that they notice.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, eventually they'll notice. Like,
and, like, you're in a position where you just kind of have to say something. You can't just, like, go ghost. I mean, I guess, like, in that instance, I would, like, fake my death. Like, horrible car crash. Maybe have Charlize Theron or someone find me dead.
It's not that hard in the military. It's like...
I mean, just disappear.
Yeah.
You got killed. Have a bomb go off in a building, and you just don't come out.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks you died in the line of duty, and you just leave and live your life somewhere else, because, like, that's all you can do. Instead of this, no one's looking for her. She's like, everyone's gonna think I'm AWOL. I'm like, no one's looking for her. This whole movie, they never actually deal with, like, the military going and trying to figure out what the fuck happened to Niall. No one calls her. You don't have anything happen with her family. It's like, she keeps saying she has a family, and we see them in iPhone pictures, and, like, we don't even deal with that emotional bridge. Like, we're not even talking about that any more than, like, oh, I wish I could see my family. But of course, like, Charlize Theron gives her a gun and is like, if you're gonna go ditch the car and the guns when you get here. And she's like, okay, fine. Leaves, figures out that the gun that the French guy gave Charlize Theron, who Charlize gave Niall, wasn't loaded. And that's like, oh shit, this is a double cross. And then it's like, oh shit, this was a double cross. They find Chiwetel Ejiofor, basically tricked them. They capture Charlize. Dudley comes in with his goons. They capture Charlize Theron. They capture the French guy. They figure out, oh shit, Charlize isn't immortal anymore. And that's the thing that makes Chiwetel Ejiofor have the fucking...
come to Jesus.
Yeah, where he's like, maybe this is wrong. Wait a minute. She is gonna die? This is bad now. Yeah. And it's like, this was bad before, dude. Like, what the fuck? They're immortal, not, like, indestructible. This isn't like Superman, you keep trying to poke him. And it was just terrible. It was just stupid. And, like, yeah, it's just dumb. And so Niall's like, I gotta go save him. And she runs back. It's very cliche. You know, the person who left is the person who didn't get caught. Who's the person to save him? And I will say this about this movie. And it hit me while we were watching it. And I think this is in light of, you know, I was more aware of it since we are dealing with, like, we are in the midst of, as this is being recorded, in the midst of, like, the Black Lives Matter movement and things like that. We actually get, like, a scene between two black actors, Niall and Chiwetel Ejiofor. That's, like, an actual, like, genuine dramatic scene that, A, has nothing to do with the fact they're black, and B, is, like, two main characters. They're not, like, side characters, and it's just, like, this mixed cast of people, and we give them a scene together where they're, like, actually acting off each other, and they're doing it really fucking well. Like, and I guess, like, when we were watching that, I was like, wow, this is great, because this isn't, like, it's not a scene where we're, like, talking about race or we're doing something like that. It's like, let's let these actors act, stand out, and just, like, you know, don't have to be typecasted as a black person to be in this movie. And they do a damn good job. Like, you get a lot of emotion out of him, you get emotion out of her. It's arguably the best scene in this movie as far as just the dramatic end of things goes, action stuff is aside. And I'm like, this was your movie. You have a stellar cast here, at least for the most part. You could, like, you have a really good cast of people. Like, what is going on? This movie stinks. Like, it's not great. You have Dudley, whose character is basically a shitty version of Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor, which is already a shitty version of Lex Luthor as it was. So we're dealing with, like, some exponential shit here. They go raid Dudley's facility, final showdown. You know, they say Charlize Theron's immortal here. or not immortal here. She's like human. I don't fucking buy it. She's getting shot, stabbed, punched, and she's just walking it off. And I'm like, no, there is a point where the damage ratio is just too fucking high to keep moving. It's not that it's painful necessarily, but it's like you can't physically, you know, if you cut muscles, you can't move them anymore. And it was killing me because she's just doing this shit. Dudley's carrying her axe around trying to be threatening when everyone has a gun.
Yeah.
And it doesn't amount to anything other than Charlize Theron, the final bit, which was cool, but it was weird, is she like takes the axe from him. Her and Niall fake this stupid thing that Charlize did to Niall on the plane where she fake killed the pilot. They fake killed Charlize Theron. She takes the axe and nails Dudley in the neck. He's dead. Okay, it's like embedded in the side of his neck. But oh no, we gotta finish his ass off. And so Niall, which is cool, but why is Niall sees him standing there with a gun like he's gonna shoot Charlize? And I'm like, I mean, just get in the way. You're not gonna die.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Instead, she tackles him out of like a 50-story window. They smash into a car. He's totally dead. Yeah. She heals up, and the fastest elevator in the universe, everybody gets out of the building, and they meet her up down there, and she heals. She's like, oh, that really hurt. And you watch their nasty, grotesque. It's a really gross CG, like, fixing. Like, if you guys have seen Guardians of the Galaxy, I think it is, when Nebula's, like, adjusting herself after she gets blown up or something, it's like that, except instead of physically moving your body's just moving itself. It's really fucking gross. But she gets up, and the dude's like, the French guy, I think, or maybe it's one of the two couple guys, they go faster than the elevator or something. And I'm just kind of like, arguably, it's not. You guys got here
at least a second. Yeah, while she was still trying to fix herself.
Right, like, you theoretically got down the elevator and were in the lobby of this building by the time she hit the car or within seconds of hitting the car. Holy shit, what did you guys do? Did you jump down the shaft? Like, what the fuck is this? And they all, you know, they all come out and they're like, just leave Dudley's fucking body, and they all leave and go take the axe, and they're all like, good job, gang. And I'm like, you are in, I think it was London still, crowded city street.
I'm surprised there was nobody there.
There's the problem is there's plenty of people in the background. They're just not doing anything. There's a car that had two people fall into it from the top of a building. Only one of them got out, which on its own, if anyone's getting out, it's insane that that's happening. There's still a dead person.
Yeah.
And it's almost like everyone was like, oh, that must be their car. Oh, they're fine. No worries. It's no big deal at all. Just let it be. And they just fucking leave. And I'm like, this is stupid. And the cops roll up as soon as, of course, they're like away from the situation. Course. And they just, what? They do this. It's weird. They like banish the French guy for betraying them, and they're like, meet back at this pub in 100 years and we'll be a team again, I guess. And it's like
it's some sort of exile,
because he betrayed him and then helped him, so I guess it's cool,
he's got to be grounded,
basically, which, you know, whatever. And so they kind of learn what their sort of purpose is, because it turns out Chiwetel Ejiofor has been like tracking Charlize Theron's entire life. And it turns out that, like, the people she's saved, their descendants do some crazy shit. Like, she saved somebody in World War II from, like, going to, like, a concentration camp. And their kid invents, like, a cheap way to distribute insulin or something like that. And it's all these things that she's done affect things further down. And so it's like, that's just what you have to do. You have to keep helping people. And they're like, okay, fine. Well, you're going to be like our dude on the inside. You're going to make us disappear. You're going to give us the setup of where we're supposed to go. You're going to basically keep us safe while we do this. And we do like a dual sequel setup here where you get them having him do that and him agreeing. And then you get the French guy 6 months later going home in like the mid-credit scene. And if you forgot, like we did, that woman from the 16th, 17th century who drowned in the ocean forever and kept drowning for the rest of her life because she's an immortal, somehow escaped and somehow got into this dude's apartment and is like, what's up, you know, dude? It's good to meet you. And I'm like, okay, why couldn't that be the movie? Like, they set up this sequel where they're like, because they say earlier, like, oh, you'd go insane. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yeah. I mean, you're drowning at the bottom of the ocean, pressure and all shit, but you keep coming back to life. But arguably, that's your movie. Like, she escapes. You have to train new girl and fight this crazy immortal person, too, yeah, who probably
blames you for...
who hates, like, humanity and you.
Yeah.
That's your fucking movie, not whatever the hell this Dudley shit is, because, like, this just... it's just too weird. Like, and I think I said it during the movie, this would have been so much better as a television show. Like, with the mystery element of why are you all immortal?
Yeah.
You get... it's sort of slow burn Niall getting trained and have some maybe adventures of them doing stuff. And I kind of hope that's sort of where this goes, is like, let's just say this movie was a setup for a television show and we'll move on with a TV show. I don't think some of these actors will do a TV show for Netflix. I think Charlize Theron is way too high profile to do a TV show for Netflix. Fingers crossed they pay her enough to, because I think this has a really good potential for a show, but I think it was a trash fucking movie. So, but Amber, what did you think of this one? You know, thoughts in general about it as a whole, as opposed to the pieces we keep talking about.
Yeah, I think it was absolute trash.
Yeah.
Like, the storyline was not that great. Like, there were so many plot line holes and...
well, just drop threads. It's not even holes. It's just like, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we're just not going to bother. And I guess it just bothers me because... the actors in this movie clearly... I mean, some of them you've seen have... Charlize Theron alone has serious skill. Like, Kiki Layne is a good actress, too. It's just like, we're not...
do them such disservice. It's,
it's... yeah, you do, because it's like, okay, you guys are just going to be action stars. It's like, but can we give them, like, some substance here, please? I mean, this movie, you know, it's the epitome of this is why you don't make characters immortal. It just is, you know, we can't do Highlander because it's already been done. So we're going to do this other thing. You just die. Like, you just die. It doesn't matter. This fucking happens. We don't know. We don't really want to try to figure it out. And it stinks. Like, it just stinks. Because it feels like you're being dumped into, like, half a movie. And all we get are really cool action sequences. And I feel like it's trying to, like, I think it's really cool how Charlize Theron, like, ever since Mad Max, I guess, has been doing this really awesome, like, I'm going to be a kick-ass, like, action star. And arguably, like, Mad Max was great. I loved her in Mad Max. I haven't seen Atomic Blonde, maybe a future episode, because I heard it's really good. But this, I'm like, really? Like, we saw her in Mad Max Fury Road. We can't even get a little bit of that? Like, come on. And I mean, it's cool that she's beating all these guys up. Like, come on. Yeah, I know. And, you know, there are a few plot holes. Like, if she really is becoming mortal again, that whole fight sequence in the church with all the people and she kills them all and gets stabbed, it's like, she should have one or two more wounds than that. Because, theoretically, what did she, like, lose her immortality mid-fight? I guess so, but what? Why? How does this work? But yeah, I don't... I'm not the biggest fan of this movie. What would you give it out of our standard 10, Amber? Like, if you had to give this movie a rating?
Oof. It'd have to be like a 1 or a 2.
Really?
Yeah. Damn. It's really bad.
Yeah. I think I would give it... oh, man. I'd probably have to give it something in the realm of maybe a 2 or 3. And that's really just because the action scenes were good to me. Like, they were cool. Like, it had some cool action sequences. The way that they used their immortality in a couple scenes did kind of save it from, like, when she shoots Niall, because it's like, why would I go chase you down? Like, I can just shoot you and you'll get back up. It's no big deal. Like, things like that. I'm like, okay, at least you understand that your characters can't die. We're not treating this like, oh my god, what if you get hurt? It's like, who gives a fuck? But the, like, plot where it exists... the whole just, we're not going to tell you anything about how anything works in this whole fucking world, and then we're going to set up what will probably be a way better version of this fucking movie as either a sequel or a TV show. It just felt like a slap in the face. Like, this movie just felt like I really wanted to see some kick-ass action.
Yeah, and I had heard good things about it from other people too who had seen it.
I mean,
so it was definitely like...
it's disappointing.
Yeah, disappointing.
And I mean, it's disappointing because, like, you hear about, like, Atomic Blonde is really good, and then you get kind of like this is like John Wick, but they're immortal. And I'm like, that sounds kind of fucking hardcore. Like, holy shit. It's not like John Wick has the most elaborate plot in the world, but like, this just didn't have it. It was like, we want to have an elaborate plot, but we don't have enough time to do all the action sequences we want to do and set changes that we want to do. So just imagine it. And I'm like, I almost would have preferred like the 2.5 hour version of this where they explain this shit to me than a 2 hour, like, we're beating each other up sequence thing. And I'm just, also, why are we in Morocco and then Afghanistan and then France and then England? Like, just pick two. Be in Afghanistan and England. It makes perfect sense. It's like, what the hell? But yeah, I think I give this movie like a 2.5. I don't think I could push it all the way to 3. Do you have any idea of what this, what the Metacritic score for this movie is?
Oh, it's got to be like 30%.
It is 70. It's a solid 70.
Really? Because Metacritic has given lower ratings for movies we thought were...
I know. It's baffling. Yeah. I feel like Metacritic might even be inaccurate.
I'm like, what were you watching?
Yeah, I kind of don't understand like what the deal with this is. But yeah, it's, you know, one of the reviews on IMDb is boring and cheap looking. And honestly, yeah, I could agree with that. It's kind of a dull movie that I kept wondering when it was going to be doing shit. I took time. I think I took like timestamp notes, like 33 minutes, 50 seconds into this movie. They finally start to kind of say what the fuck is happening as far as the immortality is concerned. And we have been watching so much shit happen. Mm-hmm. At 23 minutes in, they're still not talking about what the fuck the deal is. So, I mean, we spend a long fucking time just watching immortal people do not dying stuff. And it's like, okay, cool. Why? Like, why do we care about this? What is the point? But yeah, would you... Now we've done movies that were complete garbage in the past. But some of them have a little bit of a watch value. So, Amber, would you suggest, despite your rating, like, would you suggest people watch this movie?
No.
Yeah, just yeah, straight no. I would,
no. Don't even bother because you're wasting your time.
Yeah, I think this has to be one of the few, if not the first on the show, yeah, where I say the same. I don't think you should watch this movie. It's not really worth the time. It's not really a good hangover movie because even though nothing's happening that makes you really think, the movie starts with questions that you are thinking about that never get answered. And the movie is also kind of loud. So, you know, if you're hungover, you don't really want to watch this movie. It's just not good. I feel like maybe a lot got left on the cutting room floor for this movie. Because it feels like there's got to be some version where they at least talk about something. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what to think about this here. Like, it's just not great. I mean, it's just not a great movie. Wish it was better. But, you know, I don't think you should waste your time with it. If anything, it's made me a little interested in this graphic novel series just because I kind of want to know more about what the fuck this is supposed to be. But, yeah, I'm not digging it. I don't suggest it. Don't waste your time. So, as we said at the top of the show, we are kind of changing up how we're doing stuff on the show, you know, here and there. So, we're kind of splitting it up between, like, our main episodes and then our small screens episodes. So, your next small screens is going to actually be on the Hobbit series. You know, they're just kind of going over those three movies. But Amber, can you tell us what our next mainline episode is going to be the week after that?
Our next mainline episode is going to be Lost in Translation 2003.
Yes, an Oscar-winning movie starring Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson, which yes, hopefully is better than this. I would hope that that Oscar holds at least some weight here, because yeah, could use a good palate cleanse. But you know what? The Hobbit, in all of its flaws, is still a better series of movies as a whole than this was. So yeah, at least there's something there to kind of cleanse our palate.
Water on our eyes, you know, to remove that bleach.
Let the scales of the old guard fall from my eyes so that I can watch a CGI vomit fest that is The Hobbit. But until next week when we do The Hobbit, I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And this is So What Happens Next. We'll see you guys next week.
okay, you know, I wrote myself into a corner with that whole immortality thing, pretty much regretted it immediately after.